We invite you into this place, Lord God. We pray that our encounter with you this morning, through worship that's already taken place, our encounter with you this morning, through studying your word, will be life-changing. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So last week, it was kind of fun because we got to recognize somebody in regards to a big thing in their life in regards to 50 years of marriage. Today, we get to recognize the Smiths, Cindy and Perry, who are at 41 years of marriage. Isn't that awesome? I was talking to Perry before service for a few minutes, and I said, you know, it's just so wonderful that in a body of believers like this, that we have these examples before us, because as I said last week, marriage is kind of a throwaway agreement or contract in our society today, unfortunately. And that's not the biblical idea or desire behind marriage. So to have people a part of our church body, our church family, that have set this example for us and set this challenge for us is wonderful. So congratulations to both of you guys this morning. Last week, we talked about encouragement. Ben talked about it a little bit this morning. It's been brought up a couple different times during the service this morning. And what I realized when we were done last week was that encouragement, being an encourager, is actually a biblical characteristic that we should try to implement into our lives. And there's a whole bunch of these biblical characteristics. So what went from a one-week sermon on encouragement has now grown into an ongoing encouragement about biblical characteristics that we need to look at in our own lives and say, what do I need to be working on in regards to this area of my life? So I know that I've already heard from some of you guys this morning in regards to ways that you are given opportunities. So often when we preach something as a pastor, the week before, the week after, we get opportunities to then act on what it is that we've preached. So often when we hear a message and we make a decision that this is an area that I'm going to work on, then we have opportunities to do that in the week following or the weeks following. So I know because personally I've been on the receiving side of a couple pieces of encouragement this week from some of you guys, and I also know because I've had conversations with some of you of the ways that you had opportunity and you took those opportunities to encourage others this last week. It's so wonderful when God chooses to put those opportunities in front of us to actually put into practice the things that we feel he has spoken to us about. So this morning, as we continue in this series on biblical characteristics, we're going to be talking about faith and the importance of faith in our lives, the importance of the characteristic of faith in our lives. We're going to be turning to the book of Matthew chapter 8. If you are with us this morning, you have your own Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. Unfortunately, I forgot to get a page number for it for the church Bibles. It is first book in the New Testament there. Matthew chapter 8. I can tell you if you're reading from my Bible, it's page 819, but you're not, so it's not very helpful to you. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 23. It's the story that took place with Jesus and his disciples in the Sea of Galilee. It's probably a familiar story to many, but it may not be to all. So we're going to take time to just read those few verses this morning. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 23, says, "Then he got into the boat," this being Jesus. "Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. So that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're all going to drown.' And he replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This might be maybe one of the most important characteristics, biblical Christian characteristics that we can have in our lives, this idea of faith. We just like the disciples, we have to decide every single day to walk in faith because there's so much that is unknown in our lives. And there's always going to be things that are unknown in our lives. It's just the way that life works out. So are we going to let circumstances run and rule our lives, or are we going to have faith and believe that God is greater than the circumstances that we might face in life at times? Each day you and I must decide. It's a decision if we are going to live by faith or not. And here's a fact. God wants us to live by faith. God wants us to live by faith. I want you to say it with me. God wants us to live by faith. In fact, Scripture tells us, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, no one can please God without faith. God wants us to live by faith. Paul says it a little bit differently in 2 Corinthians. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. God wants us to walk by faith. In fact, God expects his children to live by faith. He wants you to live with the reality that God is in control. No matter what we may face in life, God is in control. The reality is, circumstances, they are ever changing. They do. Every day we face new and unique situations and circumstances. Situations come and they go, but God does not change because of the situations that you or I find ourselves in. God does not change. I know that God has special plans for each one of you that are sitting in this worship center this morning, for each one of you that are worshiping with us at home this morning. I know that God has incredibly special plans for you and for your life. It's something that oftentimes getting to and through those plans can be very uncomfortable and not easy. And it can be filled with obstacles. Circumstances may change from day to day as we live the life that we think that God has planned for us. Sometimes there will be situations that will test our faith as believers in Jesus Christ. Are we faithfully going to respond and continue down the path and the road that he has laid out for us? At times it will take great faith on your part to accomplish what God has in store for you. But God, here's the thing that we are assured of through the Word of God, that he has empowered each and every one of you. He's empowered us so that we can live by faith. The only way you will be able to maximize your potential for Jesus Christ and for his kingdom is to live a life of faith. Here's another fact. Life itself, what we do day in and day out, it's the testing ground for your faith. Life is the testing ground for your faith. So we read this story about Jesus getting in the boat, his disciples getting in, the storm coming. Jesus is sleeping in the back. The disciples are frantically and afraid, and they go, they wake Jesus up, and Jesus calms everything. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have had in your life, maybe it is current, maybe you are having difficult or bad things happen to you. So just for fun, instead of making it a rhetorical question, let's actually, if you've ever gone through something difficult or something bad, let's put our hands up. Okay, now go ahead and take a look around. Right? You're not alone. The person that didn't have their hand up, that's because I already put them to sleep with my sermon, but we have all gone through or are going through and will go through bad and difficult and tough times. Everybody does. And that's because bad stuff happens to everybody. It's a part of life. Life is this collection of good things and bad things. That's what life really is. And here's the reality, is some of us, me, I really like it when the good things outweigh the bad things. I'm going to guess a lot of you are in that same boat as I am. That as long as the good's outweighing the bad, we appreciate that, we like it. But the truth is bad situations, they are going to happen to all of us. A bad situation in the story that we read in Matthew, Jesus and his disciples are out in the sea and the storm rises. And just like so many problems in life, it's unpredicted. They didn't hop into the boat knowing that they were going to be going into the middle of this storm. I don't believe, at least. It's unpredicted. It's unplanned. It's unexpected, but it still happens. Because it's unpredicted and unplanned and unexpected is not going to mean that the reality isn't going to actually happen. It still happens. This is a reality. Bad storms happen. It's a life-threatening storm in this situation. It's a storm that had seasoned sailors, fishermen, right? A lot of the disciples, that's what they did. They were shaking in their boots. This is the type of storm that had the disciples fearing for their lives. Did you notice that there were kind of two different reactions to the storm that took place in the boat? The first reaction we find in the story was the reaction of the disciples. They were afraid, the passage tells us. The disciples feared for their lives. They got shook up over what was taking place. And they end up crying out, "Lord, save us, but we're going to die here." Because of their circumstances, they believed that their lives were coming to an end. They feared for their lives. Jesus, however, did not react that way. He wasn't shaken up by what was taking place at all, if we're reading the passage right. He was calm. In fact, he was so calm that he was in the back of the boat sleeping, it says. How could he sleep through a life-threatening storm? I think there's at least three reasons that Jesus could sleep through that storm. Today we're going to look at those three truths and how they should impact our lives and help us grow our faith, the biblical characteristic of faith. The first one of them is this: God does not get shook up by your storms. God doesn't get shaken up by your storms. I'm sure glad that God does not get shaken up by my circumstances. I'm sure glad that when my world is shattered and everything seems like it's going wrong, when the bad is outweighing the good, the way I don't like it to be, I'm sure glad that God does not get shook up. I'm sure glad that when calamity comes, that there's somebody who remains calm in the midst of it. I'm sure glad that I can find somebody who remains consistent in the face of the chaos that we sometimes face in life. Hebrews reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm thankful for the fact that Jesus does not change. The calm Jesus laying in the back of the boat The Sea of Galilee, in the middle of the storm of all storms, is the same calm Jesus that's walking with you and me through life's challenges and calamities and trials as well. Jesus doesn't change. I'm glad that God is God and that he does not get shook up just because there's a storm going on in my life. I know, I think Jeff maybe mentioned the storm that we went through this last week. I know Deb did as well. And I'm going to guess that for some of you, you were kind of like me. As we saw this thing approaching, let me back up. Ever since 2011, whenever we get heavy rains, like I get a little bit anxious about that. Because we had a foot of water or so in the basement, and that wasn't a fun experience, and it created all kinds of, it's not a fun thing. If you've had water in your house, you understand that. So whenever we get good heavy rains, I always kind of get a little bit on edge, a little bit nervous about it. I want to, kind of go downstairs and keep checking, like I'm going to be able to do anything at that point anyways, but I feel better about checking it, I guess. So this week, as we know that this thing's coming, and I'm hearing comparisons early in the week to 2011, but it might only be bigger and worse because it's all going to come in 24 hours instead of 72 hours, I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to do to be prepared for Wednesday? Tuesday's my day off, so I started Tuesday out at Lowe's with Dave, who is also at Lowe's on Tuesday morning. In preparation for the storm. And I spent the rest of the day at home preparing, making sure all the gutters are cleaned out, making sure that I have hoses on stuff to get it far away from the house when it's coming down so it's not just coming down the gutters and staying right at the side of the wall, and making sure the sump pump is running right. I'm running water and making sure that thing's running, and I got a hose on my sump pump that goes 50 feet away from my house right now. Okay? That water's not coming back in once I pump it out. So I do all these preparations. That night, I drag my family down into the basement, and literally today, if you were to go into our basement and walk downstairs, you would see all of our furniture piled from the floor, something had to touch the floor, all the way to the ceiling in our basement is our furniture. It's just piled. It's stacked on top of each other, so we'll only lose one piece of furniture when this thing floods, right? So we've taken all these preparations, and praise the Lord, it ended up not being what we thought it would be. But you know what? Here's what I want you to get out of this, is that because we had taken some preparations, I actually felt a little bit better about things come Tuesday night, come Wednesday morning. If I had not taken those preparations, I would have like really been big time on edge. I wouldn't have shown up in my office to work on Wednesday morning. I would have just worked from home on Wednesday morning so that I could be running downstairs every 15 minutes. I probably would have set up a desk in the basement so I would know exactly when it comes in, right? But I felt better about it because I had taken a little bit of time to prepare for it. Our preparation for life's challenges, it's real challenges. Not just water in our basement kind of challenges, but the big challenges. Our preparation for that is having a growing faith in God and his faithfulness. That's how we'll get through the big challenges in life. When we already have this base of faith and we do things in life to continue to grow that faith. God doesn't get shook up when the storms of life come. Jesus doesn't get rattled by the ruckuses of life. He knows that everything is in order. Look what the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm reading this from the version of the Message. So it's a little bit different, but it says this. You'll take afternoon naps without a worry. You'll enjoy a night's sleep. I actually slept on Tuesday night. Into Wednesday. No need to panic over alarms or surprises or predictions that doomsday is just around the corner, because God will be right there with you. He'll keep you safe and sound. God doesn't get shook up about the storms that we face in life. And that's the first thing we learn from that passage in Matthew. Second thing is God is bigger than our circumstances. God's bigger than our circumstances. If the bully of the neighborhood wants to fight you as a child or as a teenager or whatever, maybe as an adult, who knows these days, there's lots of people looking for fights. If the bully of the neighborhood wants to fight you and your best friend is bigger and stronger and a better fighter than the bully, you don't have too much to worry about. You feel kind of confident about life. You don't have to be afraid. In Romans, Paul states this thought. He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? The Message says it just a little bit differently. It says, with God on our side like this, how can we lose? If your best friend is God, you're not on the losing side of things. He is taller than the mountain. He's stronger than the storm. He's bigger than the bully. With God on your side, how can you lose? Nothing's impossible for him. No bully can push him around. No storm can shake him up. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, our passage told us. And he's my best friend, and he loves me, is what we should be able to say as Christians. And when that's the case, nothing can keep his love from reaching us. Paul knew this fact when he wrote these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a pretty exhaustive list that Paul puts together of all the things that can't separate us. And then he ends it by saying, or any other created things. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We can walk in faith because God is bigger than the circumstances that you and I will ever face in this life. And it's not that we don't face hard circumstances. It's not that we don't have hard roads to go down at times throughout life. But what we need to remember is that God is bigger than those circumstances. The third is walking in faith. It actually builds our faith. As we choose, as we make a choice to walk in faith, it will build your faith stronger. This is a fact about faith. The more faith that I use, the more faith I gain. The more faith that I use is the more faith that I gain. Just think about it. If you go back to the Old Testament, right? Noah was asked to build an ark, even though it had never rained. He's asked to build an ark. Noah, in faith, builds the ark. It rained, and what happened to Noah? His faith became stronger. He had faith. He acted on the faith that he had, and then as a result of using that faith, his faith increases. Joshua was asked to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days, a strange way to conquer a city, I think most of us would agree with. So Joshua, he marches around the city for 7 days in faith, and the walls fell down. Joshua's faith became stronger as a result of that. Naaman had leprosy. He was told to take 7 dips into the Jordan River. So he does it. Out of faith, he was cured. You can't tell me that his faith didn't grow a little bit as a result of that. God has never asked you to do the impossible. Even though it may seem impossible or maybe unreasonable at the time, But if we go back to our passage about the disciples in the boat, right? Do you think that after the storm had taken place, they had woken Jesus up? Jesus took care of the situation because he was bigger than the circumstances that they were facing. Do you think that the disciples had a different opinion on Jesus in that moment? Do you think that their understanding of who he was had changed? Do you think that they had more faith or less faith after experiencing that moment with Jesus? I think their faith certainly increased. Scriptures say, so the men marveled, saying, who is this? Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Who is this one? Who is the one who can calm the storms? So let me ask you this morning, who's the one you put your faith into? Who's the one that you trust with your life and all that life throws at you? That's an important question, but maybe the more important question, the bigger question, the more significant question is, who's the one that you trust with your death? Life is short. Eternity is long. The ultimate storm of life, it's coming to all of us. Death is a reality that each one of us here face. It will arrive sooner or later. Sooner for some, later for others. But it will come. It will arrive. Who is the one that you trust with your life? Who is the one you trust with your death? Who's the one that you put your faith into, no matter what life brings at you? Is he the one who can change the water into wine? Is he the one who can open the eyes of the blind? Is your trust in the one who can make the lame walk again, raise the dead from the grave? Is he the one who can calm the sea in the midst of an incredible storm? As believers in Christ, we must trust Jesus today with whatever circumstances we face. So do you have faith in him? It's a biblical characteristic that as believers we need to have. And we need to work at amplifying it. When the storms of life hit, when they hit really hard, we should be running to him. Remember, he calmed the wind. He calmed the waves, and he can calm whatever it is that you are walking through. Jesus doesn't get shook up by your storms in life. He's consistent. He's bigger than any storm that you will ever face in this world. And if you put your trust in him, if you put your faith in him, he will take that faith, and he will grow that faith. My prayer for each of you this morning is that you will trust in him today. I don't know what each one of you are dealing with in your life today, but I'm pretty certain some people in here are going through the tough times, the hard times, the disappointing times, the discouraging times. My encouragement to you is to go to God, to have faith in his ability to walk with you through the storm that you're facing. And for those that aren't facing a storm today, right now, my encouragement to you is to remember this, to be encouraged by watching other people live their lives of faith and seeing God's response in those situations. Let's pray together. Father God, at times it seems like it can be difficult to live life with complete faith in you. It seems like it can be difficult, I think, because we don't physically see you walking on the earth, physically seeing you touch somebody and bringing sight back or walk back, curing leprosy. But Lord God, help us as believers to be able to process and see that you are still a God of miracles, that you are still a God of answered prayers, and that we can see the result of those miracles and of those answered prayers through our brothers and sisters in Christ, through other people that you bring into our lives. As we go through life and as we see you doing those things, Lord God, may each one of those things build our faith in you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that for each one of us that claims Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior this morning, that we would say, yes, this is an important biblical characteristic, and we all have it to some degree. It might be very low on the scale, might be high. But wherever we're at, Heavenly Father, help to open our eyes that we would see what you're doing around us, and that would build our faith to the next level. Lord God, when the disciples saw what you did in the storm, in that boat, they were in awe. Help us, Lord God, to not just take things as coincidence, or as it just happened, but to really see your hand at work and help us to be in awe of what it is that you do in and around our lives. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.